Well, it's straight out of a science fiction novel. Duluth, the UMD, Earth and Environmental Sciences Department, John Googe in particular, who is a professor here at UMD, has partnered with the National Science Foundation and the Scripps Institution of Oceanography, and they've completed the Rapid Access Ice Drill. It's RAID for short, and it's going to enable the drilling down, coring deep ice and bedrock, giving scientists unprecedented access to critical parts of the coupled glacial and geological environment. Now, I've read this novel, as a matter of fact, and they discover something scary that then tries to take over the world after they drill down that far, but I'm not exactly sure if that's part of the plan. John Googe joins us this morning to give us some more information. Hi, John. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you expecting to find anything that's going to try to take over the world?
I don't think so, although I have to say that there's been a lot of new movement by lots of countries to move toward exploration in Antarctica, so maybe this will reflect that, I guess, although that's not our goal. Our motivations are purely scientific, and we're trying to learn about the natural setting of the ice sheet and of the geology beneath that ice sheet that's covered. That's my interest. I'm a geologist, studies the evolution of continents, and unfortunately, because Antarctica is so widely covered by ice and snow, we don't see very much, so this gives us the first opportunity to actually get direct samples of the material deep below the ice sheets.
Well, joking about science fiction aside, chances are you're going to be able to drill in areas and drill through in a way that no one's been able to before. So you are, it would seem, almost guaranteed of discovering or finding something new.
Absolutely. No, I think that's exactly right. We see this this drilling system that we built as a research tool. It is designed for scientific exploration. We're trying to just see things for the first time. So as you just said, it's by all natural rights. It is hopefully will be some interesting discoveries. We have a few clues about what we might expect to find, but there's nothing like the proof of the pudding of actually getting those samples for the first time.
So what is it that you are cautiously optimistic about seeing for the first time?
Yeah, so one of the several things, is, and as you think about the sort of, if you think about the situation as a cake with a lot of icing and frosting going down into various layers of things, we have snow and ice at the top going to the very oldest ice. The deepest ice in the Antarctic ice sheets is potentially the oldest that we have not previously taken ice cores of. And then we go into the ice is sitting on something. We don't know what that something is. And that means that we don't know how well attached the ice is to the continent. And is it slipping or is it pretty much frozen on? So we don't know what those conditions and materials are. And then going down even further, we get into the old, what I call basement geology, or these are crystalline rocks that probably formed billions of years ago during the early geological evolution of Antarctica. And so, again, because we can only see that geology around the coastal areas where little bits are exposed due to melting of the glaciers at the edges, we really don't know exactly what we're going to find in the middle. So each of those sort of three main components, the ice, the interface, and the rock below, all potentially harbor some interesting clues to the overall system, and one of those in the ice, for instance, is to try to push our records, our paleoclimate records, from the polar ice caps back more than a million years. The oldest ice cores that have ever been taken in either Greenland or Antarctica only go back about 750,000 years, and we know from studying sediments in the marine systems, the ocean system, ocean sediments, ocean floor sediments, that there is probably a major climate transition about a million years ago that we'd like to understand more about, but because we don't know any, we don't have information directly from the ice itself in the polar environments, we're missing a big component of that picture.
John, so, is part of the project, are there going to be results that are applicable to the conversation about climate change, or is this kind of skewed in a different direction?
No, absolutely. It's a very, very key part of the motivation behind this drill. Whereas my interests are to get in, my direct research interests are to get directly into the bedrock below, the ice that we'll be looking at, because we can go faster and deeper into the ice sheets than anybody has ever been able to do before, we can get to the oldest ice we think that exists. And that is very important because, as you just alluded to, we can learn a lot about what our future climate shifts might bring in terms of what impact it's going to cause for our societies and ecosystems around the Earth by learning something about what may have happened a million years ago. And during that time period, we think that there was a significant change in the climate cycles that naturally occur, mainly controlled by the way that the Earth orbits around the sun. And that cycle or pattern of change changed fairly abruptly and significantly about a million years ago. And we think that if we can learn something about what causes that kind of change, then that may help us for instance, it could be that that the concentration of CO2 in the atmosphere is a major driver for that change, but we don't know the answer to that because we don't have the critical component of that equation is contained in the ice. And if we can find that out, then we have a better way to understand what the implications of a high CO2 atmosphere are for global climate. And that's certainly where we're headed. There's no doubt that the CO2 is accelerating in its concentration. It has been, and so we'd like to know what the possible outcomes are from that kind of scenario.
John, has RAID already left for Antarctica?
Yeah, we finished building the system basically through the summer and into the fall. We put it through a series of final tests for acceptance from the contractor that was working for us in Utah. We took possession of it basically in November, shipped it to California, and the latest word I have is that the vessel has, the marine vessel has left California, is on its way to Antarctica as we speak.
Are you going to be able to be there for some of the drilling?
Yeah, that's the plan. So the way things works, because in Antarctica, the seasons are flipped opposite of ours, so they're in the summer season right now. The ship will arrive at McMurdo Station, the main U.S. base in Antarctica, sometime in late January or early February. It'll just get offloaded, basically. Our drilling system will get offloaded and then put to bed for the winter coming up in Antarctica. And then in October, November of 2016, when activities start to pick up in the U.S. Antarctic program, we'll bring the drilling system out of hibernation and bring it up online. And by November, December, we're going to be sending it on its first field trials to test out all the components of the system as they're intended to work in Antarctica. And I will plan to be down in Antarctica for that testing season next year.
Are you frustrated at the idea that you have to wait almost a year?
Well, I've been working in Antarctica for a long time, and I know that these time delays are just the way it goes, because there are people that work through the Antarctic winters, but I'm not interested in doing that. So we pushed really hard in order to make the ship. If we knew if we couldn't get the system done to make this vessel delivery, then we would have to wait an entire another year for the opportunity to do that again. So I'm really relieved that we made it onto the vessel this year. And now I'm happy we've got lots of stuff to sort out and get ourselves ready for the field trials coming up. So we always want to just push ahead and, you know, start using the equipment and drilling and see what we can get. But we've got a little bit of some breathing room now to make sure that we do it right when we get there next year.
Well, when you're looking at time frames of 1 million to 1.5 million, I guess waiting another 11, 12 months
That's
is maybe
right.
not that big
That's
a deal.
Right. That's right. And for me, my interest, you know, I work on rocks that are billions of years old. And if exactly as you just said it, if I wait another year to get samples, it's not going to make a big difference.
Become a geologist and learn patience is the takeaway from this.
That's right.
John,
that's
thank you so very much for joining us this morning. It was great to talk to you and congratulations.
Well, thank you. And thank you for your interest. I appreciate it.
John Googe is the co-leader of this research into the RAID, the Rapid Access Ice Drill, and he's an earth and environmental sciences professor here at UMD.